101.5 WB&Q. So excited to catch up with people who know and love B&Q as much as we do. But when you find out one of your buds is going to be on one of my favorite TV shows, Mason, formerly of Afternoon Drive here at WB&Q. Circa what years, Mason?
Oh, gosh. I left in 2010, and I was there for about 4.5 years, so it's got to be 06, 2010. Yeah.
Wow. I turn around and look for you in the office, and I realize, nope, I was just seeing him on Facebook.
And when you called, it still came up as Radio Bloomington in my phone. So,
oh, that's too funny.
My heart lives there in Blono.
You and Remy left simultaneously, of course, to start a radio show together. Congratulations on all your success in both St. Louis and Chicago. Still happy with that move to country, which I have to say, I was a naysayer at the beginning. I'm like, really? Country? Those two?
Well, I can't lie and think I might have been as well. First, Remy, say hello to everyone.
Hi!
Remy!
Hi, Remy!
He's the hometown hero, Remy, who is a graduate of Illinois State and worked at State Farm and grew up in Normal. We actually attribute you to the reason we got a start. You took a vacation. We did a dumb fill-in morning show.
Yes, you did.
Somebody found that tape and was like, do you guys really want to do that? So thank you, Susan, for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks for slacking, taking a vacation.
I'm happy to take off time anytime you like. No, you guys were born to be together. As people, you would just feed off each other so easily, and to see the level of your success is really great. But, okay, now that I know Remy's in the background, we have to talk about him for a little bit. Okay, Mason? When it came out that this opportunity was happening for you to be on the Nashville television show, did you both audition for the show? Or was it just
they came and said,
you're going to do this?
And they said the character is going to be talking with a Chicago DJ. I heard, you know, will you guys shoot a little audition video? And we did. And they said, it was great, but we can only pay for one of you to be an actor.
Oh, no.
So then they had to choose which one.
Right.
Oh,
I'm not sure if I got the short stick or the short straw or the long straw, but either way, I ended up making the trip and doing it. And really, it's not that much of a stretch for acting abilities when you think about what I'm doing in the show and what we do in real life, right?
Were you able to improv the lines at all and make them your own, or did you have to go word by word for what's in the script?
So there's a line, and it's something that we radio people know that you don't say, like, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, right? It's really cheesy. Nobody really says that.
Right.
I told them that, and Hayden Panettiere was quick to tell me that this is not reality. You should stick to the script.
Mm.
So there's not a lot of ad-libbing that I was able to do, unfortunately.
Wow.
Are you saying Hayden Panettiere immediately told you you were wrong?
She was like, I have some acting tips for you.
Yes. I will instruct.
She did, and she did. She's just like, this is not reality, so don't think that way. Now, at the same time, if you saw the clip, she's kind of fiddling around with stuff while we were filming the scene. She's saying, like, I want to kind of illustrate how strung out this character is and how messed up she is, and she should be fiddling with something. And I said, you know, like, maybe click a pen, or like we do on the air sometimes. We have this nervous tick where we are fiddling with a pen, and they show it in the scene. So my acting suggestion to Hayden Panettiere made the show as well. So give and a take, right?
Oh my gosh, that's too cool.
As Andy and I are both holding pens.
Yeah, I know, I've got a pen right here.
Now,
I'm clicking
amazing.
It.
I would also like to point out that most radio shows do not have a television screen.
Yeah, what's
to
up
put
with
up
that?
Examples on the board. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You can tell that is not a real radio station. I mean, you guys work in a radio station. That's the fakest studio I've ever seen. But it's TV, right?
But it was still amazing. And to get to see you on Nashville, which I've been watching from the get-go, stunning. I'm losing my mind.
Did you have to go down to Nashville and film this, or was it in Chicago? Where did this happen?
We actually shot in the Nash FM studios in Nashville.
That's a Cumulus Media product.
That is. I've been in there.
Station.
Yeah, that's too cool.
They were going to fly me, but then they said I get mileage because, you know, and so I'm all into making some extra money, right?
Were you surprised when you ended up on the promo the week before? Because that's when I first saw you, and that's when I started screaming.
Yeah, the little teaser promo. And that was, I think, the first indicator to us that I was not going to end up on the cutting room floor, because I was thinking, I went down and did this thing, and I'm not an actor, so they'll find somebody else, and they'll just reshoot it. It'll be over with. But it was neat. I got to tell you, you know, I reached out to my parents, like, hey, guys, you want to come for Thanksgiving? I haven't heard back on that, but they have called me to talk about Nashville, like, 3 times. So it's very cool.
Priorities.
So what is next for, I'm guessing, you and Remy?
I can't say I'm looking for any other acting work. I've always wanted to do, like, a radio show, and what we get to do right now with Remy in Chicago in the morning, and then we're also on the air in St. Louis in the afternoon. It's a dream come true. It's more than I could ask for. So this whole opportunity was great. You know, I can't say that I'm like looking for my next gig. You know what I mean?
But Remy is, because it's got to be Remy's turn at some point in time.
Right.
Just saying. The poor guy. He's been an actor and a singer forever, and he's got to get a nice opportunity out there. But I have to ask one question that's totally not Nashville related, Mason, since we're catching up.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up outside of Illinois, and then you moved to Illinois to work here in Bloomington. What baseball fan were you then?
I've been getting this question a lot lately.
Right.
I bet.
Funny you should ask. I grew up in actually mid-Michigan and mm-hmm. didn't know much about baseball. I learned the majority of my baseball knowledge from Remy, who grew up a White Sox fan.
Mm-hmm.
He was a baseball player. And when we moved to St. Louis, I mean, the Cardinals run that town. So the only thing we could do is, you know,
become
get behind
Cardinals
the
fans.
Biggest team in town. And
right.
then they say, you want to go to Chicago? And now, if the Cubs can do this thing, what more would be, like, what more could be that fantastic for, like, this whole rivalry to come to a head in the year that they predicted it in Back to the Future. I mean,
it's a huge deal. Yeah.
I just felt so bad when there were people actually saying, when you and Remy announced that you were going to be taking over this show in Chicago, they were like, well, we can't deal with a couple of Cardinals fans, you know, in Chicago. And I thought, you people are ridiculous. You end up supporting the team that you love at
yeah.
the time. And now here you are, devout Cardinals fan living in Cubville and White Soxville. And I'm a White Sox fan, and I'm supporting the Cubs this year.
And I went to Bradley University, and I'm an ISU fan now. So I'm saying, you know, things happen, okay?
I've always said that we'll support the city that supports us, and St. Louis has been great to us, and in just the 8-9 months that we've been on the air in Chicago, they've been amazing. I did a broadcast from opening day of the season where the Cubs were playing the Cardinals, and the Blues were playing the Blackhawks at the same time in the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
I remember that.
I feel like it was a very intense time, very emotional and very vocal fans from both sides.
Mason, always delightful. If you're in the area, you know, it's our 40th anniversary year, and you were definitely part of the groundbreaking success of the radio station when I first got here, too. So if there's ever a time you're in town, would you pop on by and, you know, crack a mic and say,
sing
here's Taylor
Remy.
Swift, and maybe sing with Remy, bring his butt back here, too?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, if you have time, I can tell you how Susan was involuntarily a part of my wedding.
How was I part of your wedding? Because I wasn't there.
You weren't, but you may remember Ryan, who was working with us at the time,
mm-hmm.
who's still a great friend of mine. He gave he was one of my groomsmen, and he gave a speech, and he said, I met Mason back when the only woman in his life was Susan Saunders.
Oh, my gosh.
Fell flat, because there was not a ton of people from Bloomington, Oral.
The and they were just like, who is that? That's too good.
But for all of eternity, Susan, you are a part of my biggest day. So I wanted to let you know that.
That's
and again, you're a big part of our success as well. And you're truly talented. And to have a job the length of time that you have is something some people can only dream of. We're hoping that it happens for us.
I absolutely hope it happens for you, because someday they're going to figure out that they need to make a change. And I'm going to be hitting you up for a job hard.
Oh, whatever.
Very, very hard. Congratulations to you both. The planets have aligned for you two, and I couldn't be prouder to say I knew you when and still know you now. So Mason, congratulations, TV superstar. I will be the first one to like your Internet Movie Database page when it gets created, okay? With one credit.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Andy, and long live the super team.